Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time. We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Hebrews, and today I want to continue to look at what the writer of Hebrews taught about how God speaks to man under the new covenant. So let's open our Bibles and read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 again together. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Now, we're continuing to look at what the writer of Hebrews is discussing here in these two verses by looking at the various ways that God used to speak to man under the first covenant or the old covenant versus the much more superior way that God speaks to man through the new covenant. And last time we were talking about the two sources of divine revelation, and I want to continue in that vein again today. As I told you last time, the Bible teaches that there are two main sources of divine revelation. These are the two methods by which God reveals himself to mankind. The first type of revelation is what is called general revelation, and that is the revelation that God makes through his own creation and what we call nature. Last time we were introduced to the second type of revelation, what is called special or specific revelation, which is the 66 books of the Holy Bible. And last time we were going over just what the Bible says about itself in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So let's read those verses again together. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And we saw last time how that by using the word inspiration here, the Apostle Paul was saying that Scripture is the most unique body of words that the world has ever known, in that they are the only words that were exhaled or breathed out by God, which is what the word inspiration means. And we saw how that by extension, inspiration also means that Scripture is inerrant, infallible, authoritative, relevant, and eternal. Now here's how we tie all this together with what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. We have to understand that it pleased God to bring the focus of all that he has done in creation and all that he is in eternity into the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the highest form of love to God and the highest form of worship of God and the highest form of respect for God, and the highest form of adoration and honor for all of God's creation, especially man, for Jesus Christ to have the preeminence in all things. Therefore, everything that God has spoken from Genesis to the book of the Revelation, in the special revelation that we call Scripture, or the Holy Bible, everything that God has spoken from Genesis to Revelation, everything that God has done all through his marvelous creation, from the creation of light to the forming of man, points all of us to Jesus Christ and speaks to us of Christ and tells us of Christ so that we may hear and see and know and love and honor and adore and worship and follow and obey Jesus Christ, all to the glory of God the Father. So the writer of Hebrews tells us that although God spoke in various ways in time past, he is only speaking today through Jesus Christ. So first of all, the writer of Hebrews clearly affirms that Almighty God speaks to man. And then he goes on to say that God used to communicate to man in various ways and at different times through the Old Testament prophets. Now contrast the various ways that the one true living God spoke to man back then with the many gods of the false religions. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. Now listen to what the prophet Habakkuk wrote in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. What profit is the idol when its maker has carved it, or an image a teacher of falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork when he fashions speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake, to a mute stone, arise, and that is your teacher? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. The false gods of the pagans cannot speak, they cannot hear, they cannot forgive a single sin or save a single soul. But all the while these pagans worship these idols, they couldn't see or hear or speak. The one true living God of the universe was speaking to man in various ways. For example, in the first chapter of Genesis alone, God spoke 12 separate times during the 6 days of creation. And the very first attack by the devil against man was over what God had said. Please read with me Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Satan put doubt in Eve's heart about what God had said, and that began a chain reaction that eventually brought forth the fall of the human race. So in just the first 4 chapters of Genesis, God spoke to the other persons of the Trinity, God spoke to creation, God spoke to Adam, God spoke to Eve, God spoke to the serpent, and God spoke to Cain. Then for over 1,500 years, we have no record of God speaking at all until he spoke to Noah. After the flood, God was silent again for another 480 years until he spoke to an idol maker named Abram. God spoke to Abram 3 times over a 24-year time span and then was silent again until he appeared to Jacob. And after that, God was silent until he spoke to Moses. So God didn't speak just once or twice. God spoke many times and in many different ways, but the way in which God spoke in the Old Covenant was fragmented. So it was not the brilliance of the sun that God spoke to man in the Old Testament, but rather the refracted light that shone from behind the clouds. It was still God, but it was hidden. After creation, God revealed himself to man, and that was because God wanted man to know him and to love him and to serve him and to fear him and to worship him. God wanted man to enjoy him. So God spoke to man through dreams and through angels and in person. God spoke audibly and by fire and through a cloud and through visions and in a deep sleep and through other people. And this brings us to the Old Testament prophets. The Old Testament prophets were sinful and fallen men who were uniquely called by God and supernaturally given God special messages to pass on to God's chosen people. Now, at the time that these prophets operated on the earth, the Bible, God's special revelation to man, had not yet been compiled nor completed. So God spoke his word through the lips and the writings of these prophets. And when the prophets spoke God's word, they did so in a very special way called prophecy. And these prophecies were divided into 2 categories, foretelling and forthtelling. Both the future prediction, which is foretelling of God's will for man, and the present proclamation and exhortation of divine truth, which was the forthtelling, were done by the prophets. So, by definition, this made these men individually unique, and it made their ministry to only be temporary. These unique prophets were so endowed by the Holy Spirit that their words were God's words, and that is why prophetic messages were often prefaced by the phrase, thus says the Lord. The prophets also served another purpose, that of being reformers to Israel's religion and culture. God used these special men to call the chosen people back to a pure worship in obedience of God. Although the prophets were critical of the way Jewish worship often degenerated into mere ritual, they were very careful to never condemn or attack the original forms of worship that God had given to his people. Contrary to popular opinion, these prophets were not wild revolutionaries, nor were they religious anarchists. They were very accountable to God for everything they said and did. These were highly disciplined, very ordered and cautious, and holy men, uniquely called and chosen by God to proclaim God's word. Their ministry was not simply to rebel against the established order. They were called to purify, not to destroy, to reform, not to replace the worship of Israel. The prophets were also deeply concerned about social justice and righteousness. They were very the very conscience and soul of the nation, calling all men to repentance. They also functioned as God's covenantal lawsuit prosecutors, and so they served holy subpoenas on the leaders for violating the terms of covenant with God. And because of this, most of the prophets were despised, hated, and rejected. All of them were feared. The people of God trembled to see them coming, for they knew that these prophets would rebuke their backsliding and expose their lukewarmness. Now, what is fascinating is that many prophets were tortured, imprisoned, and even killed by the very people that God had sent them to reform. And all during their ministry, these chosen prophets of God were ridiculed, rejected, cast out, brushed off, and ignored. Only periodically were their words heeded, and when that happened, the entire nation rejoiced because God would honor those who obeyed the prophets' words. Prophets spoke with divine authority because God specifically called and chose them to be his spokesman. They did not inherit their office, nor were they elected to it. The immediate call from God, coupled with the Holy Spirit's power, constituted the prophets' credentials. But there were also another group of men in Israel during those days, and these were called false prophets. And these false prophets were a constant problem in Israel. Instead of speaking the oracles of God, the false prophets related their own dreams and their own opinions, words that were not God-breathed, words that came from the mind and heart and mouth of evil men, saying what the people wanted to hear and what would pad their own nests, rather than speaking words that would bring the people under conviction and repentance and into a right relationship with God. So while the true prophets were frequently and severely persecuted and rejected by their contemporaries for refusing to compromise the proclamation of the whole counsel of God, the false prophets were very much loved and extremely popular and were followed by the masses. But what did the true prophets speak? When God spoke through the prophets and through Moses and through angels, what was God saying to man? Well, God was speaking to man about his one and only Son, the darling of the Trinity, the fullness of God, the express image of God's own person, Jesus Christ. You have to know, dear friends, that everything that the Old Testament prophets spoke in some way and with various clarity pointed the way to Jesus. And Jesus himself confirmed that that was true when he said in Luke 24:27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Hebrews. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept, teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.